In the Blog Talk Radio. And we are live.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directed to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand rising, I have a song every morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Health and Wellbeing with Viata. Of course, I am Viata, your host for the next couple of hours. And I have a song I wake up to every morning now that just fills me with joy. So I want to share it with you so that you might also be filled with joy. We need joy, joy, joy more than ever on planet Earth because we're in a war. This is a war we're in. So in this war, the most important thing that I'm finding is to fill up with joy every day. Fill up with joy every day, filling up with joy. And so we're going to have a special guest today, Cedric Shepherd Jr. I didn't put that on the flyer, but Cedric Shepherd Jr. is going to be with us to give some expert opinion, expert analysis on all the division going on right now with athletes. Athletes have a unique health challenge, and my guest will go elaborate on that today. And in how I think it's like a mental as well as a physical challenge, as with every athlete. My dad, this picture behind me, played football back in the late 40s, early 50s, where there were very few men of his shade of skin on the football field. In fact, one of the pictures down here on this poster that actually Cedric Shepherd created this poster, whole poster for me for the Soulful Chicago Book Fair that I participated in for 2 years. And one of the things about the picture you notice right away, most of the faces of the men on those pictures were of Caucasian men. That this was 49 and 1953. He played for New York and Cleveland. So the contrast is interesting as today we know that the predominant faces on the fields of basketball and football are men of dark skin. And it's interesting how they're divided now, even amongst the Black Americans division about everything. So unity is hard to come by these days. But we're going to do our joint rolling and then come back. And I think my guest is already in the studio. So we're going to open up his mic right after we do our joint rolling. So join in with me, even if you're in the studio. We do joint rolling every Friday morning. Why? To improve our circulation, to promote a healthy lymphatic system that dumps toxins out of your body, and to just get our body energized every morning. We all need to get our body healthy and energized. And being an athlete, the whole purpose, I think, at one time was to be healthy. I, for one, thanks to this man, my father, grew up in a household that promoted exercise and lots of physical activity. My athletic experience was swimming. I went all the way to the top as a senior life-saving guard. I took the test and passed. So that was kind of the top for me in my swimming endeavors. Achieving a senior life-saving card. I am a very strong swimmer, excellent swimmer, and I excelled in that, so I'm grateful. My father encouraged his three girls to excel in athletics, and ours was swimming. And his only son that he had played football. He was really excited and looking forward that his only son he had later in life with his third wife would play football. And so he did play football for a little while, and then he went off and did something else. So it just goes to show you parents can influence you up to a certain period, and then you make your own decisions. And that's what I liked about a quote by a guy named Jonathan Isaac. He's one of the basketball players that was interviewed about the ongoing conflict. And he said, my parents decided to give me vaccines as a child. And he said, I'm grown now. I'm making my own decisions. So that's kind of what we're going to get into today about the decisions that athletes are making and how it affects their health or not. And my guest, Seb, is going to really elaborate on all that because he loves sports and athletes and football or basketball especially. He's a basketball player, referee, and a coach. So we're going to hear from an expert on the subject. So let's get down on the floor and do some joint rolling. So I'm going to, again, move my tablet. My tablet's been working really well since I turned Wi-Fi on it. I think the problem I had in the past was I didn't have the Wi-Fi on because I didn't know how to turn the Wi-Fi on my tablet. So we're going to put my tablet and my laptop down here. And we always start out with some neck rolls. For you in the studio, if you're not on Facebook Live and you can't see me, we're going to start off, before we turn the music on, because I'm going to do freedom today. And it's only 3 minutes. So I want to do my neck rolling before I turn on freedom. I love that song. And I don't own the rights to the music freedom, so don't censor me. But I have his permission. John Batiste is my brother. I have his permission to play his music. So let's roll a chin to chest and roll this neck around very slowly and stretch out the muscles in the neck. We're stretching our neck muscles first because we're going to be moving this head around for the next few minutes and even hour. And we're going to be sitting too. So we want to make sure that the top of our spine, you know, our spinal cord is part of our brain, in case you didn't figure that out. When you think about the brain stem is the connecting pathway to the brain and the spinal cord that goes down our back. So our brain, and then let's stop and go in the other direction. Our brain is connecting spinal cord and to all the other parts of the body. All these nerve systems go through our body, but they have to pass through the spinal cord. And they're directed by the command center of the brain. So that's why we're rolling these joints so we can stay healthy. Now let's just roll our shoulders while we're up before we turn the music on. Roll these shoulders back. Ooh, loosening up the shoulders. I had to bury a cat this week, and I had to dig a hole, a 3-foot hole for the cat's grave. And my shoulder on this side was so sore for a day or two. Now it's much, much better with a little arnica, peppermint oil, and herbal adjustment. Those are the three oils that got my muscles back in balance, because I'm not used to digging graves for cats. So it was a one-time experience. I don't know if I'll have to do that again, but the poor cat was 19 years old, and we put him to sleep and buried him. So bless his little soul. We're now at peace. All right, now, so let's get some music going and do some joint rolling. I know that's why you're here. You are here. Okay, I don't know what happened. Where did my music go? Intro music. Okay, Freedom. Yes. Freedom by John Batiste. I just love this music. I do it on the outside in my ear. But we're going to get on our backs. For those of you in the studio, get on your back. Kick our legs up, our ankle and wrist rolling. And then we're going to go to our knees.
With the whole team.
music. That was John Batiste on In Freedom. It's just too short, though. I love that music. And so we're massaging our vagus nerve to complete this joint rolling, massaging. Let's give our arms a good pat on up and down the arms, under the arms. It is Breast Health Awareness Month. So we want to make sure we massage those girls every month, every day. Give those girls a massage. And that actually helps loosen up the lymphatic system around the breast. Underwire bras are a no-no, girls, because they interfere with the lymphatic system. There are all kinds of new inventions out there for bras. So look, do some investigation. If you've been wearing underwire bras, not a good idea when it comes time to building up your immune system and helping your body function at its best. No interference with the lymphatic system. That's our toxic dumping system. So we want to keep that moving. And then one more pat on the butt. Let's give that butt a good pat to stimulate all the circulation all over the body. Woo-hoo! Give yourselves a hand. If you've been with me on this joint rolling, your body is still should be feeling more energized, healthier, and strong. So I'm going to go back up into the studio. And we're going to... All right, we're going to get ready to meet our guest for today and talk about the unique health challenges of athletes and more. I have in front of me, and thank you, if you're in Facebook Live and you want to comment, if you have a question for my guest, you're going to want to question him when you hear him because he's a very intelligent, articulate, and experienced young man. Who has become an entrepreneur. When you hear about what he's doing as an entrepreneur, you're going to have lots of questions. But I'm having in my hand the book called 40 Million Dollar Slaves. This comes to my mind every time we have any kind of controversy in the athletic arena, professional athletes especially. And this book was written by William Roten, Bill Roten, we call him. He was actually a student of this man behind me, my dad, Sherman Howard. He went to, Bill Roten, the author of this book, went to Harlan High School in Chicago, played football for my dad, and then Bill actually was the New York Times column since 1990. He wrote that column. It's Sports of the Times, and he's been a sports writer, or actually since 1983, served as a consultant for EA. And so I want to just read a quote from him on the back, or a quote from the book on the back about athletes in general. He says, from Jackie Robinson to Muhammad Ali and Arthur Ashe, African-American athletes have been at the center of modern culture. Their on-the-field heroics admired and their stratospheric earnings envied. Million-dollar slaves, remember. But for all their money, fame, and achievements, as New York Times columnist William Roten, black athletes still find themselves on the periphery of true power in the multi-billion-dollar industry their talent built. So we're going to dive into the topic of unique health challenges for athletes and talk to my nephew, Cedric Shepherd. Because he's got all the experience in this field that we want to hear about. So I'm going to open his mic. 404, I believe that's 404-453. Is that there, Cedric?
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you get kids off to school and all that?
I'm doing. Yes. I'm actually headed out right now to pick up my business partner, who actually has worked with Kyrie Irving and has actually, you know, sat down with him, had candid conversations with him. So it's very interesting that you invited me on and, you know, to speak on, you know, what's going on with the athletes and specifically what Kyrie Irving is standing for. So definitely have some insight on that. Definitely would like to share my opinion.
Thank you for taking the time to be with me. I know you are a busy man, And this our guest, Ted Shepard, is the oldest grandchild of Sherman J. Howard, this amazing athlete behind me. He's the oldest, only child of my sister, my older sister. So this is a family conversation, but he's been in the athletic and professional field for a while. So you're going to hear from him, mostly his, I'm going to try more not to be too opinionated, but because of what's going on, the division that's going on right now, it's hard not to have thought about this. We grow up in a family with my dad, all the emphasis on athletics and all that. So, Cedric Shepard, are you there?
Yeah, I am here.
Okay, I'm hearing a little background noise.
Let me. Can you hear me now?
Who's in the background?
It might be me. I'm in the car, so that might be an issue. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can just talk so why don't you introduce yourself by telling our audience a little bit about your childhood and how you became interested in sports.
Okay. Well, of course, like my aunt said, I'm the oldest grandchild of my aunt's father, my grandfather. And a lot of my inspiration in sports came from, his background. Me being a big kid at an early age, I was bigger than everybody, So the first thing, knowledge was me to play football. I learned at an early age to use my size to my advantage. And, football was my first love, and then I got tall in the eighth grade, and I kind of didn't lose my love of football, but they wanted to change my position. I played defense growing up, and I liked to hit people. I didn't like to get hit. So when I was going into high school, the coach wanted to move me to tight end, and I called my grandfather and told him, and he told me, if you don't love the game, you're going to end up getting hurt, and I was losing the love of the game. So I concentrated fully on basketball, which was a blessing, because I was a good athlete in basketball, and I played in high school, star on my high school team, and had some challenges as far as playing college basketball, not because of my skill set, because I didn't take my academics seriously, and I ended up not passing the SAT on time. The scholarship offers that came my way were gone, so I never had to go to junior college in Arizona. But that was a path that I thank God for taking me through, because it matured me, it helped me grow, and taught me responsibility, and I ended up playing my college basketball at Morehouse College. I played finished my eligibility out there, played 2 years. I had 2 years left, and then I graduated. My whole thing was wherever I started, I was going to finish. I started college, I was going to finish college. I was not going to bail out. I've always had that type of attitude because that's an athletic mindset. When the going gets tough or it's the fourth quarter, what you go quit because you're tired or you're losing, or you go keep playing hard. So that mindset has always been in me. And it's basically carried over to where I was a pro and college official for 17 years until I tore my Achilles in 2018. So with that being said, I've always had that grit and grind of being, the athletic mindset, having an independent, opinionated, type of personality. And it's carried over to now where I have a print shop, but I also am building up a real estate portfolio. But it all comes from the self-discipline, the self-motivation, the structure, the versatility. I could just keep naming different words what athletics has taught me, especially a child that my father abandoned me at 10 years old. Thank God for my mother, and thank God for how she was raised, because a lot of her values and morals that she carried into me came from her father. So, with that being said, I'm thankful who I am today. I'm thankful for the wisdom God has shared me with me, you know, especially, you know, being health conscious. And, you know, I just soak all that in to try to pass it down to my kids and others who have that interest. So, you know, with what's going on with the athlete right now, and, you know, from my opinion, if I was in that position and I have former friends that played pro ball, you know, and we're kind of from a different generation than Kyrie Irving or the players that are currently playing now, you know, our mindset was a little different. A lot of players said they would have taken it, you know, because a lot of players back in when my era was coming out, they needed to keep working. They needed to make that NBA money because they were trying to get their family out of, you know, any kind of struggle and things
but
like that.
Hold on a minute. I think a lot of people listening don't even know who Kyrie Irving is. So hold on a minute on that.
Okay.
I'm getting
okay.
We're going to get there, but I think there are people who don't even watch basketball. They may not even be paying attention to the news. What is he talking about? So let's hold off. And I want to go back real quick to what you said about your father. I've never heard you. I don't know that I've ever heard you use the word abandoned. So I want to just, because I always like my guests to talk about their childhood and their upbringing. Know from you, and you don't have to answer this question, but we're trying to be transparent and help everybody to heal in this crazy twilight zone we're in. But when you say
you know,
your father abandoned you, what are the emotions that you have had to deal with because of that?
Well, because I have a strong-minded mother, as you know, that's your sister. I never got down or depressed or like, where's my dad? Why is my dad not here? Honestly, it just fucking motivated me. Excuse my language, but that's what it did.
Okay,
it
so
taught me,
I see anger
me.
Though. When you use that F word, to me, that's anger. So isn't
well,
that the emotion you have to deal with?
I wouldn't say anger. I would say aggression. Because anger and aggression are two different things. So I would say it's more aggressive because I was determined not to be the man that he was. From how he treated his wife to how he took care of his family to how he carried himself as a man to how he, you know, even after him and my mother split up, how he, you know, basically said, you know, I'm divorcing my wife, I'm divorcing my kid. You know, a child doesn't have anything to do with the relationship with you and that adult. Your child doesn't ask to come into this world, you know. So what God puts in your plate and your responsibility, you got a man up to it, a woman up to it, regardless.
Okay,
when you say
aggression, that's not really an emotion, but that describes the action that you were taking as a result of that childhood experience. But I think as someone who's known you along the way, anger has been something you've had to deal with as an emotion. And I agree, you maybe didn't have the sadness or depression or any of that. But I think anger, you'd have to probably admit you had to deal with some anger issues, and it may have been as a result of having that type of or lack of relationship with your father.
Well, I think a lot of it was, you know, just not having clear answers, you know, not having that why or, you know, or just admitting you were wrong. You know, my father has never admitted to his mistakes. He always, you know, never been accountable for his actions. So, you know, I'm 42 years old now. I get it. I'm old enough. It is what it is. But, you know, like you said, previous years, it was a struggle for me because I didn't understand. You know, I had my youngest son asking me questions. So, you know, it became frustrating. But, you know, with healing and with time and prayer, you know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, when I use that word aggression, because it's just like with me, I give you a case in point. I was telling somebody this last night. When I was officiating, I was in a game that had 10,000 people in the crowd. I made a call that basically changed the whole scope of the game, but it was the right call. And those fans were calling me all kind of names, blah, 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 this and that. Well, at the end of the game, the team who I made the call on, who the fans were getting on me, they won the game. But I ended up staying in the hotel with basically the fans that was coming from that team out of Alabama. And when I went to breakfast, they saw me that morning, and I sat down. They looking at me like, whoa, it's the referee from last night we was on. And I'm looking at them like, yeah, I'm here. So I sit down and eat breakfast, and then one of the guys come up to me and it's like, you did a great job last night. That was a good – and then here you come, they come following. So I've always used, like, aggression to try to bring out a positivity. You know, with what I saw with my father and having that type of, you know, maybe saying effing, and, you know, it's not out of anger. It was out of aggression that I'm going to show you how you did wrong and how you're supposed to did it the right way.
Okay, Cedric, I am so grateful you're being so transparent and honest. This is what we need on health and well-being. We need transparency.
I'm an open book.
So
how you gonna inspire others if you don't keep it honest with them?
So we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into more of the Kyrie Irving conflict and situation. But I want to just say this about imperfect parents. We grow up, a lot of us grow up only at our parents because they didn't do what we expected them to do, what we deserved to have them do, and that is show us love. You know, what Cedric just described was a father who was unable to show love. His father was had drug issues, all kind of issues, but why did he have those issues? Because his father never showed him love, is what usually the case is. So thank you, Cedric. We're going to go to a break. And I'm going to mute you for now because you got a lot of background noise. But when we come back in the break, I'll open your mic up again. But that is why I love guests like Cedric who are transparent about their childhood, because we can learn a lot from him. And I know as his aunt, him growing up having a little anger, but he used that anger to be aggressive in his career and in his athletic ability. So unique health challenges of all athletes is to use their traumatic past, their emotional past, their sad past, in a way that, as Cedric said, I use that anger and that disappointment. I think that disappointment would be another. I use that to be aggressive in all the endeavors that I do now, and he's very successful at what he does. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into this Kyrie Irving debate, conflict, whatever you want to call it. It's so interesting to me that especially the black athletes are divided, the older ones especially, and even the younger ones. What I listened to so far this week is most of his teammates are like supporting him. I didn't hear from too many of his teammates that didn't say, let him do what he needs to do. The guy who he recruited from another team, even he was saying, let him do what he's doing. I'm not going to criticize him. So we're going to hear especially the words that Charles Barkley spoke, which I thought were, well, I'm going to save my opinion. And, you know, it just fits in the category of one size fits all. We can all have the same drugs, the same this, the same that. And let's all get along because we got to make money here. So anyway, I'll be back. I'll try and contain myself as we go forward. Shalom. Let's go to a break.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605. And we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
If you have a question or comment for my guest, Ted Shepherd, 515-605-9325. He's going to be here, I think, the whole 2 hours unless he has something that comes up. But we're talking about the unique health challenges for athletes. And I want to play this audio about that I heard, let's see, where is it? I heard with, what's his name? Okay, here we go. Charles Barkley. Yeah, Charles Barkley somewhere. Charles Barkley made a statement that just irritated me and just made me stop and go, what did he just say? So I'm trying to find that one because that's the one that is important. So let's start here. NBA player, I think it's Brandon Goodwin. No, he has the blood clots. We don't want that one yet. We're going to go to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Draymond Green, I hope I got this on here. Anyway, Draymond Green, let's try that one. I think that's the one. Let's try this one.
How do you straddle a line between, you know, letting Andrew have his personal space and also knowing that what his absence might do to the team, situation?
That would be like Andrew, who, as everyone knows, previously just had a kid, you know, maybe, I don't know, 5 months ago or so now. That would be like me telling him, like, yo, your wife is going into labor. How dare you leave this team and not go tend to your wife for what that can mean for this team? That's something that's personal to him. That's health-related. That's, you know, something that's personal to his family. This is no different. This is, you know, we're dealing with something that to me feels like has turned into a political war. When you're talking about a vaccination and non-vaccinated, I think it's become very political. And, you know, for someone who's not extremely into politics, when you make something so political and people, not everyone is into politics, then you can also turn those people off, you know? And, you know, I think there is something to be said for people's concern about something that's being pressed so hard. Like, why are you pressing this so hard? Like, so much, you're just pressing it, pressing it, pressing. I think you have to honor people's feelings and their own personal beliefs. And I think that's been lost. When it comes to vaccinated and non-vaccinated, And it kind of sucks that that's been lost because you're essentially not giving anyone, you say we live in a land of the free. Well, you're not giving anyone freedom because you're making people do something essentially without necessarily making them. You're making them do something. And that goes against everything that America stands for or supposedly stands for. And so I don't think, no, I know, I'm not in any position to go tell him what he should or should not be doing. As a leader of this team, I'm not going to go to him and say, hey, man, we really need, no, the hell, you do what you feel you want to do. That has nothing. I'm not going to go and ask him, did he get a polio vaccine? So why would I go ask him if he got a COVID vaccine? You know, I remember the days when your medical history was private. I remember those days. I ain't that young to where I don't remember your medical history being private. And I also remember the days when your voting, who you voted for was private. Your choice on whether you were Democratic or Republican was private. I remember growing up and asking my grandma, who you vote for? And boy, don't ask me who I voted for. Like, are you crazy? You know, I remember those days, you know, and it's not so much like that anymore, you know. So I'm a little old school. You know, I think, you know, some, we get away from some things as a country, as a whole, as a whole being of humans. You know, we always think we're doing better and you're getting better. And sometimes when you think you're doing and getting better, certain things get lost. And I think medical history right now is one of those things that's been lost. And it's not going back, you know, so I'm not sitting here, you know, crying for it to go back. It kind of is what it is. But I said all of that to say it's not my place nor my business on whether he gets vaccinated or not or who else is vaccinated or if you're vaccinated and I'm not or if he isn't and she is. That's none of my business. And I think, you know, people in this world could do themselves a great deal if they actually took that approach as well, because it's, you know, it's your own personal choice at the end of the day, what you do with your body. And, you know, it's not my place to tell him what he should or shouldn't do with his. Like, that's, because he's not going to come tell me what I should do with my body. And, you know, so just because I am a leader of this team, don't give me the right to go tell him what to do with his. That's his personal choice.
So that was an athlete by the name of Draymond Green. I thought he had the best, one of the most balanced perspectives on this issue about Kyrie Irving. So I'm going to open up the mic of my guest.
Yeah.
You can explain, who is Kyrie Irving? Who does he play for? And he has come out and he said, I'm not getting the jab. So it's created massive controversy, headlines. And I'm sure the newspapers and everybody loves this because now they got something to write about again other than Bill, our president voting mandate. So, Seth, who is Kyrie Irving, and is he a good player? What's he do? What do you know about Kyrie Irving?
Well, first of all, I want to say what Draymond Green just said, that he was 100% correct. But anyway, Kyrie Irving is a kid out of New Jersey. He lost his mother when he was four. So his father raised him. His father played pro basketball overseas, moved back over here to the States. So I think he was born in Germany or somewhere like that. But anyway, came back over here to the States, think around high school, you know, played high school ball at school St. Patterson out of New Jersey. His godfather is Rod Strickland. Rod Strickland was one of the best hard-nosed guards, ball handling skills, all of that. He was out of New York, but him and his father were good friends, and Kyrie's father. And Rod went to college at DePaul, where your great nephew is. But make a long story short, Kyrie graduated 2010, I believe, yeah, and he went to Duke. He only played 11 games because he broke his foot. So the kid is not a dumb kid by far. The man is not a dumb man by far. You know, he went to Duke. But to make a long story short, he declared to go to the NBA draft, and he was the first pick, first overall pick in the 2011 NBA draft. So he was a star. He was on the 2016 NBA championship team with LeBron James with Cleveland. He was played a huge part when they beat Golden State of them winning. He actually hit the shot to put them up to win. So Kyrie is his star in his own right. He has the number one selling basketball shoe with Nike. Every sneakerhead, his shoe is the best shoe out here. What else can I say about him? He just had a movie called Uncle Drew that came out maybe 2-3 years ago, I want to say now, in which he had Chris Webber, Shaquille O'Neal, Reggie Miller, Nate Robinson. This is a guy that came out around his time. But they were all in the movie. It was a kind of little basketball movie about old school players. But it was a decent movie.
He's been in the professional for about 10 years. You said 2011?
He's a veteran. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me why you think Charles Barkley is so angry. And Charles Barkley says, you don't get the vaccine for yourself. You get it for other people. You get it for the team. You get it for your family. And it's like, what are you talking about? It's like, what's with Charles Barkley? You know, he's in another generation. When Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the same attitude, angry at Kyrie Irving for making a decision about his health and a medical injection. Okay, Cedric, what's with Charles Barkley and this other generation?
I've been around Charles. Charles is a character. How you see him on TV, he's even worse in person. Now, I mean, funny, cool. Okay, but my point is that Charles Barkley is being politically correct because he's getting paid like $10 million from TNT. So my business partner, he's handling the situation, but I really wish he could be in here with me because he works with them guys. He works for Turner. So he works with Shaq, Ernie. He works around all them guys, knows them personally. He can really, you know, elaborate. Like I said, he's been around Kyrie, you know, several times. But with that being said, Charles is just being politically correct. You know, he's doing the right thing because TNT pay him $10 million a year to do what he does. And so I'm telling you.
Did you say $10 million?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he make big money. Yeah, five. I have to get it from Marcus, but he's making in between $5 and $10 million. Oh yeah,
wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I mean that show has won Emmys and everything. So, Charles Barkley is a big personality. But with that being said, he is basically being politically correct because it's no way. If you remember how Charles Barkley was as a player and definitely as a person, he's the one that came on the Nike commercial and said, I am not your child's role model. And basically he was saying, just because I'm an athlete, don't follow, you know, don't blame me when your child act out and do this and that, because Charles Barkley was the type, he would throw people through glass windows at restaurants when he was playing. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, who don't, you know, kept up with basketball, no basketball. Charles was a fool. He was a hellraiser. So it's no way if Charles Barkley was a 28-year-old like Kyrie Irving and David Stern, who was the commissioner at the time, told him he had to take a vaccine. No way. Not that country dude from Alabama. No way. I'm telling you, I know people that knew him that grew up in Leeds, Alabama with him. No way.
Yeah.
No way. So, you know, he's speaking.
Kyrie Irving was on the New York team, right?
He's on Brooklyn.
Okay.
He's on Brooklyn.
Okay, so I heard the commissioner trying to make excuses,
mm-hmm.
saying, well, that's the
mm-hmm.
law in
mm-hmm.
New York. That's the law
mm-hmm.
in New York without a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is interesting is they're not talking about, I'm surprised they didn't bring up Brandon Goodwin. You know Brandon Goodwin, right?
I know Brandon Goodwin played for the Hawks. He played in a local high school here in Atlanta at Norcross. I heard he took the vaccine and he developed blood clots.
What Brandon has to say, which to me would make this argument a little more validated.
Yes, the vaccine ended my season. 1,000%. I got sick, then I never, like, recovered from it. Like, I would always have back pain. You know, I was just super tired in the games. Like, when we played Philly back-to-back, bro, I was so tired. Like, I felt like I couldn't run up and down the court. And then my back was hurting. Then we went home, I think. That's when I started, like, my back really started hurting bad. Like, and then I'm like, all right, I got to go to the doctor. And that's when I found, like, found out I had blood clots. Like, that all happened in a span of a month. I was fine up until then. Up until I took the vaccine, I was fine. So people trying to tell you, like, no, it's not the vaccine. No, like, how do you know? You don't know. Yes, the vaccine ended my season. 1,000%. And then the Hawks, nothing against the Hawks. They just called me the next day while I was in the hospital and told me, like, oh, we're going to tell the press that, you know, your season's over. I'm like, damn, how? Like, we don't even know what it is. But it's whatever. I'm not even going to get into all that, bro. I still got love for the Hawks. Mad love for the Hawks. And I just know if I would have played, it would have been way different. We needed somebody to get in the paint, make some plays. I don't know where I'm playing at this year. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I don't know. And they just like, don't say anything about it. Don't tell nobody. I'm like, bro, what? I mean, I was supposed to be taking blood thinners because I had blood clots. I had two blood clots. I was supposed to be taking something called blood thinners. And while you take blood thinners, you can't play. You can't play basketball. You can't play 5-on-5 contact. So during the whole time I was sitting out with the Hawks, I was fine. Like, I was playing 3-on-3, dunking the ball, everything. I was normal. I got back to normal after I had that little episode, went to the hospital. I was cool. I was fine. And so I kept asking him, like, can I play? Can I play? Can I play? I was telling him, like, I'm good. I could play. They kept saying I couldn't play. So I'm like, all right, whatever, bro. So I missed that opportunity to play in the playoffs. I was fine. Nobody cared, seemed to care at all. They're just like, all right, you're not playing. So it's whatever.
So Goodwin says 1,000%, he says that jab is or at least delayed right from now, his basketball career with blood clots. This is not news to those of us reading this on Dr. McCullough's website, listening to Christian Northrup, who's one of the 10 misinformation dozen, they call them. So I have an article here from DrMercola.com, who's one of my favorite resources for over 20, 30 years. He's a medically trained doctor, and all this information is out there that Brandon Goodwin just testified about, his blood clots, all the. And so the question for everyone is, do the risks outweigh the benefits? You hear CNN, Sanjay Gupta, and all of them saying, well, the benefits are much greater than the risk. Well, you hear a testimony like that, and you read something like this: are the COVID jabs responsible for rising mortality trends? Well, Dr. Mercola writes from his resources, and his according to all-cause mortality statistics adjusted for population growth, the number of Americans who have died between January 2021 and August is 14% higher than 2018, the pre-COVID year with the highest all-cause mortality rate. Did COVID-19 raise the death toll? The COVID jab, listen to this now, this is from a source, the COVID jab killed an estimated 1,000 people per million doses administered during the first 30 days of the European vaccination campaign. When counting only deaths categorized as COVID deaths, the death toll from the jabs is estimated to be between 200 and 500 deaths per million. So this is coming out for a reason, because you got more and more people leaving their J-O-B because they are not going to allow this government, this medical mafia, to put this poison in their body. That's how they feel. Kyrie Irving, as Cedric just pointed out, this man is a professional. He's been in the business 10 years. And I think his background says a lot, losing your mother, having a father raise you, blah, blah, blah. All that has shaped his wisdom in his body. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing to me is that if we were to have unity in the black community, we could get rid of this whole Twilight Zone. Because when we come together, we are more in numbers than the establishment and the elite. But we're so divided, and you got people like Charles Barkley, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, making all this money on promotion, advertising, blah, blah, all the things they're doing now, money. What is the love of money? The root of all evil. That's why we're still in this Twilight Zone, because of the division and people like Charles Barkley and these other guys who have to maintain their political stance and keep their $1 million in their pocket. Cedric, you have a comment on Brandon. Yes. Oh, goodness. He's Atlanta, your city.
Yes. So I heard briefly about it. I never heard the detail until I heard that interview. And just being honest with it, the audience, I'm well connected with how the NBA runs. One of my good friends has been an NBA agent for 17 years. So he has shared a lot of insight in me striving to be an NBA referee, and I made it to that level in 2008. It really showed me the lifestyle of the NBA in a sense. First of all, we have to remember the NBA is about entertainment. The sport, yes, we love the sports as fans, but it's about entertainment. And in entertainment, they're going to do whatever they can do that can make money. If you heard Brandon Goodwin's statement, the Hawks, an organization that's been around for over 50 years, a company, let's say, has been a staple over 50 years in the city, basically told a young man that it's not having even, I don't think Brandon Goodwin, if he is, he just made over 25, basically told him, your career is in our hands. And basically could possibly have ended his NBA career off of what they thought was best. See, this is what we have to remember about the vaccine, and this is what these athletes like Kyrie Irving is saying and thinking, because I would be the same way. I know my body better than you. You can't tell me what to put in my body when I've been the one taking care of my body. You know, my aunt educated me on supplements, on holistic oils and stuff. I haven't took a pill or anything since then, and that's almost 20 years. But so nobody's going to tell me, because Sanjay Gupta or whatever you study what you study, and I study what I study, and you're not going to tell me because of what you think, because the majority should believe is that I'm going to take care of my body the way you tell me I should take care of my body. That's not going to happen, and that's basically what Kyrie Irving is standing. I'm not going to allow you, and he's a very wise man. You know, he doesn't need the NBA money if he wants to say I end it today. He really doesn't, because and he has a conservative. You know, he's very conservative. You know, as far as he doesn't spend big money and all that type of stuff that you see the athletes. You know, so and then with the Nike, you know, being the number one selling shoe with Nike, it's going to even popular him even more. If he doesn't do the vaccine, trust me, his fans care nothing about him not taking the vaccine. His sales have not stopped because he hasn't taken the vaccine. So to sum it up, you know, what happened to Brandon Goodwin is so unfortunate, because that's exactly how I think if I put that vaccine in my body, I don't know if my neck might be start twitching and I'm looking the other way. I don't know what it's going to do to my body. So I am not going, and at 42, I know my body. I know how my body reacts. I'm not putting nothing foreign and no shot in my body just because the master said, you know, everybody's individual, to each your own. I do not knock anybody for what their decision. That's your decision, but I know mine, and I'm secure with mine, and that's basically what Kyrie is at. I'm secure with my decision. You can say what you want to say, all this stuff, but I'm secure in mine, and he's a strong-willed type of dude where he don't care what others think. So this is the perfect person, if, you know, athlete, veteran, won championship, you know, is going to be a Hall of Famer unless they politically shut him out because of this situation. He the type, he don't care, because he is really about, you know, when you're an athlete, it's not about what the people on the outside think. It's about what your peers think. And as you stated, Auntie Vi, Kevin and his teammates, you ain't hear one of them say one negative thing about it, because they understand where he's staying and how he is as an individual. And basically, you know, they support it, you know.
We've got to take another break. Thank you, Cedric. And we've got to take another break. When you come back, I want to play an audio about a Utah teenager who had similar side effects as the professional. This Utah teenager is a basketball player, and we're going to play a short audio about what happened to him after he came back. But this is so crucial right now that we have this discussion, because I don't know how many of you know what Let's Go Brandon means. How many of you know what Let's Go Brandon means? We're going to talk about that, because that's the pulse of the country right now. Let's Go Brandon. We're going to say, if you don't know, we'll let you know after this break. Because that's the rise of awareness right now that's happening in our country. The attitude is, let's go Brandon. It's all about the person in the White House or who thinks he's in the White House.
Man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Thank you for joining me. My guest is Cedric Shepherd Jr., who's an expert on sports and activity that's going on, the conflict that's going on with our professional athletes. And it's interesting right now that black athletes have the front page on this one right now. And that's why, because they dominate basketball and football. And so it's interesting that they are the key to standing up in unity and ending this, because what's happening all over the country, Let's Go Brandon is the number one iTunes rap now. That some guy made a rap song from Let's Go Brandon. And for those of you who don't know what Let's Go Brandon is, it was a, I think it was a race car driver. There was some event where this guy named Brandon was being interviewed, and the people were shouting, fuck Joe Biden. I'm just going to say it. F Joe, the whole crowd. It's on YouTube or on the, yes, YouTube, it's everywhere. F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden. And the announcer said, oh, they're saying, let's go Brandon. And everybody's like, no, that's not what they're saying. So now this has gone viral. The whole country has got hashtag, let's go Brandon. And so the mood of the country, people are waking up. They don't agree with these mandates. They're leaving their job. People are leaving their jobs all over the country and saying, no, I'm not going to do this. Just like Kylie Irvin, I know my body. Just like Cedric explained, I know my body better than anybody. And it is not like Charles Barkley would like to say, it's not a one size fits all. Is what the country, the mood of the country right now, if you're paying attention, is let's go Brandon. F the guy named Biden, and let us come together in unity. So I want to play this one because I don't know why they're not mentioning the side effects instead of just saying, well, he's wrong, and he should be with the team. It's a team thing. You're not going along with team. Listen to what happened to a Utah team. And this is all happening all over the world right now.
A high school basketball player from Draper is in the hospital tonight struggling with three blood clots in and near his brain.
Fox 13's Haley Higgins is at Primary Children's Hospital tonight. Haley, how did this happen?
Well, tonight, that is still unclear. Everest Romney's mother says that the symptoms started shortly after he got his first COVID-19 vaccine. But she insists the blood clots are not directly related to his first dose of Pfizer.
In a million years, I never expected it.
Standing 6 feet, 8 inches tall, Everest Romney is Corner Canyon High School's tallest player. On Sunday, he made 16 points in a basketball game, and the next day, he was rushed to Primary Children's ICU.
The worst thing, just the worst thing, is to have the doctor come in and go, okay, well, we found two blood clots inside his brain.
Doctors continue testing to find out what is causing the clotting. Sheree Romney says swollen lymph nodes, neck pain, and migraine headaches persisted after her son got his first COVID-19 Pfizer dose on April 21st.
From what I understand, it is not a direct cause of the shot. But rather a perfect storm. And we don't have enough information yet to even say that.
The Utah Department of Health tells Fox 13 News the CDC is tasked with investigating possible vaccine side effects. After nearly 100 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine, the CDC reports there hasn't been a single related case of blood clots formed in the brain as of April 12th.
In weighing the risks and benefits with COVID as opposed to COVID vaccinations, we strongly encourage all of our patients and all of our community to become vaccinated because the risks of the vaccination are much less than the risks of the disease.
Corner Canyon basketball coach Everett Gray says the players are now rallying behind number 45.
He's going to pull through. He'll be fine. And he seemed like he was in good spirits.
We needed a miracle. We still do. But I believe in miracles.
Now, on Wednesday, Everest was released from the ICU, but he is still here at Primary Children's. His mom says he really wants to continue playing basketball through the summer. Right now, though, it is unclear when he will be released from the hospital.
Okay, we're exposing the lies today. Because when you hear, these days, when you hear people saying it's safe and effective, it's safe and effective, and you hear a story like that, and you're like, oh, really? Is it really safe and effective? And then when you hear people saying, well, the risks are much lower, the benefits are much greater than the risk, you're like, really? And when you hear about so many people who have died, and you say, so we're exposing the lies, realizing that we are not being told the truth in the media, by the medical system. And especially with people like Charles Barkley, who's of a whole nother generation, making, like he said, like my nephew said, $10 million maybe a year. Of course he's going to promote the vaccine. That's what this is all about. Political power, power of the pharmaceutical companies. So we have a real battle going on right now. I had someone just text me a quote from the book of Amos. And the battle, in my opinion, is against our Creator. Because these bodies were not meant to be putting all these drugs in. These bodies were meant to be in harmony with nature. So here's a quote from Amos. The book of Amos says, "Hear this word that the Most High has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" No, not in this society. We have all this division. And my intention every time I get on here is to bring unity. So, Cedric, how can we work toward unity on this subject, especially in the area of athletics and maintaining our health and our body and not creating more division? Cedric, are you there?
Yes. Yes, yes. Can you repeat the question again?
I was just saying that the scripture is, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, we can't even agree, even in the black community. There's no agreement from the beginning. From the beginning, last year, Jesse Jackson, let's get the vax, let's get the vax. Everybody, let's vax up. Everybody's just falling in line with the politics and the money. And we have no agreement, especially in the black community. Forget that. That's total division. No unity there. The only unity we have is with people of consciousness. Like Christian Northup is my face. She's my mentor, a motivator. This woman is a gynecologist, obstetrician. She's been delivering babies for probably 40 years. She's in her 70s now. She's so outspoken that she has now become the enemy, even though she was on Oprah Winfrey's show. She was on Dr. Oz for years, wrote all these great books. Now she's totally abandoned her field of medicine because she realizes how critical the situation we're in, and she's out there promoting and telling the truth. So where is the unity, Cedric, in the black community? Do you see any in your neighborhood?
Well, it's very hard to find the unity in the black community because, you know, we still have this, you know, this individual, you know, crab in the bucket mentality. You know, we you try to move up, I'm going to bring you down, you know. It's unfortunate, and it's a brainwash that I believe came from back in the slave days, you know, and we have not consciously said that, you know, we want to break that curse or whatever you want to call it. And it's just honestly sad to say that I really can't answer that question of where you're going to find the unity. You just have to find pockets of people that are like-minded, that, you know, see reality and see some of the same similar visions and come together. Because when you're talking about as a whole, you know, it's not like, okay, if we had a civil war too, do you think it would be like it was in Civil War I, where the blacks were, hey, we all here, come here, you know, they wanted everybody to be safe. You think it would be like that in today's time versus, you know, back then? I don't think so. I'd be like, hey, no, man, you can't come in. We don't have no room for you. We're going to close the door on you. That's the mentality, unfortunately, that we have as a whole, you know. And you know, athletics is something that we have overcame, like you said. Granddaddy, you look on them pictures when he played in the 50s for the Browns. It was four blacks maybe on the team. You look at it now, you only go maybe have, out of 53-man squad, you maybe have 12 whites on the team, honestly. And that's just what it is. That's just how the game has changed. So with us having athletics, we should have that community and that togetherness
But you have separation, and it just come back to that whole theory of we brainwashed. We're not looking at it. Okay, we support this guy. The perfect response that Charles Barkley, any athlete, especially Kareem, should take is from what Draymond Green said, because that was powerful. He gave you an analogy and compared it to his personal life with his wife, and you stand for the team. People forget at the end of the day, basketball is sport. It's not life. If you blessed to play ball and professionally, 10 years is the max. Kyrie has reached that goal, and he's won championship and individual awards. So, really, he has nothing else to prove, but if it's to himself or it's for the love of the game. So, you know, obviously –
yeah, there must be a special anointing on him because, like you said, he's at the end of his game. He doesn't have anything to lose. So that's who the creator uses, where the individual doesn't have this greed for money, for one. He's already made money. He has values, and he has belief about his body, and I'm sure he has a Christian, probably has a Christian upbringing background. And so He's the perfect messenger for today, that somebody is stand up for the Most High Creator and say, this is a sacred body. I have a song every morning I've been singing because it came to me the other morning, and I was so full of joy. And the song is, I am a vessel of love. I am a vessel of love. I'm a vessel of love. I live in, my soul lives in a vessel of love. My soul dwells in Yahuwah's vessel of love. I don't own this vessel. It belongs to the Creator who put me together in my mother's womb. So that's the attitude we all need to have if we're going to say no thank you to the jab. And those people who are leaving their jobs right now, they have so much courage. They're scared a little bit, but they're like, no, I can't do that. But there's an anointing, a heavy anointing falling on people right now that says, you are either going to resist and not comply and help change, shift the energy of this mandate thing, or you're going to give in and see more people die. Because there's a third jab coming, fourth jab, there's a booster, there's a that. And so it's up to you to decide, are you going to stand up like Kyrie Irving and all the other people who are resisting? There's lots of people in Europe who are tennis players. These athletes are really coming out because that's their livelihood, their body. What's going to happen when you have blood clots and you can't play back? You don't get paid when you can play. So thank goodness. Go ahead. I'm so grateful for people like him who are standing for this time, where this is such a time as this, where we need people to not comply, resist, to end this craziness and put your banner up, let's go Brandon. Put the finger up, let's go Brandon. That's what's going to change things. United Airlines, Delta Airlines, these big corporations are changing their policy about the mandates because their employees are being injured. And their employees are leaving the job rather than comply. So they're changing their policy. That's how we do this, with unity. So if you have any questions for my guest, the number is 515-605-9325. And I want to go into Cedric's new war that he's doing. He changed his career because of choices he's made and the body, you know, not being able to play for one or whatever. Tell us how you transitioned into entrepreneurship, and I guess part of it is being a Morehouse man, right?
No. I honestly give Morehouse his credit because it allowed me to play college basketball, and I met some great people, you know, there. But Morehouse didn't educate me to where I am today, to be honest. I can't tell you one class stood out that I can say, yeah, I utilized what I was taught. Because people have to understand, and especially in the business world, college is the business college. Education
at any college and you're a business major, you're taught to work for corporate America. You're not
right.
taught to work for yourself.
Right.
My whole vision was when me being in business and me majoring in business, I'm going to work for myself. And so with that being said, the self-motivation, the risk, you know, I tell people this, you know, if you were shooting the basketball, working on your game, doing all this for a dream, why wouldn't you step out here and believe in yourself in reality? You know, because basketball is or sports, that's a gift that you have a talent, and if you're blessed to make it to the pro level, you utilize that. But after that, you still have life. Well, the average athlete, once they finish playing ball, they're in their 30s. So they're still young. Even the ones that try to do longevity, like God bless Kobe Soul, but Kobe played to 40. That's rare, you know, but he's still young. He's still considered young. So with that being said, my transition was the fact that I was going to be the same way I went hard as an athlete, the same work ethic I put in into being the good athlete that I believe I was, and also so have you. I put it into myself. I believed in myself. The same way I believed on myself. When you go out on that court, on that field, you're in the, you know, or soccer field or hockey ring, whatever, you are a independent contractor. So as an athlete, you're naturally an entrepreneur because, yes, you're working for you're working for the betterment of the team, but you're also working for yourself. You have a role. That's why those athletes, if you look at it, they get paid a high salary, but they get paid at a different scale because of based on their value. So it's like if you got a house you're building. I'm in real estate. If I'm building a house, and I know, okay, I'm going to pay the plumber this because what he has to do is not that much, that much. So I don't, he's not that much value to what I'm my project, you know, but I know I need me somebody to do drywall and basically, you know, do, add square footage or whatever. So he's more value. So I'm going to pay him more. So, but you're still an independent contractor because you can negotiate. That plumber can negotiate and say, nah, that's not good enough for me. I need to be paid this X amount of dollars. And vice versa with the person that does the drywall, you know. So the whole thing is you have to look at it is that when you're an athlete, you have to transition that into entrepreneurship, in my opinion, because you already are a self-made entrepreneur. And
that's
so that's what I did.
I said very well spoken, yeah.
Oh. So that's what I basically am currently doing, and, you know, I could want to continue to do, and it's the same thing of what I'm doing with real estate and, you know, building that up. It's no good if I'm just doing it for myself and then I'm not educating others. It's just like if I know how to play basketball, why am I not going to teach the youth? Why am I going to keep all the experience that I have from being a referee and being all around that to myself when I can teach somebody younger who has the same desires that I had and teach him and guide him a little better? Because I didn't have that nobody that had that much experience. And it's just my duty because I'm passing on knowledge to the next generation. So it's the same thing with you know, with real estate. You have all these assets and stuff, but if you don't teach your kids, you know, how to value them and how they're when they can, you know, when they take over and, you know, they're mature enough or whatever, you know, you have set up, they know how to multiply and they do it for their kids. It's people don't understand being an athlete is life. You know, you get up every day and go to work, you go work that down. It's the same way when you get up as an athlete, you go work out and train. It's no different.
And when you have an injury like your grandfather, like my dad did, his shoulder injury ended his football career, which was a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
because that put him, number one, it sent him home to make conceiving and put a seed for me to be born. I think about that. You know, he injured his shoulder in 1954, he had to go back home to Chicago to his wife. And I was born in 55. So if that shoulder injury hadn't taken place, I wonder if I would have happened. And you know, when you think about
everything happens in divine order.
So okay, so every injury that an athlete experiences, it's kind of, what do you think that it's kind of a message that the real estate you're in, your soul is in, is is a little worn out and needs repair, restoration, renovating, whatever, this body, this vessel that your soul, it kind of, and I don't know about you, it kind of brings your attention back to your soul when you're injured. It's like, oh my goodness, the body's not holding up like I thought it would, so maybe I better meditate and think about what am I going to do next.
And you know, I heard this quote last year, but it was on another subject, but the post is you have to make adjustments in the game. As when you see a team down, you know, well, I'll give you an example, the Atlanta Falcons here. We were in the Super Bowl 5 years ago. We were beating the Patriots 28-3 at halftime. Well, I guess Tom Brady and Bill Belichick went in that locker room and they made adjustments. And they ended up beating us 31-28. And we still haven't won the Super Bowl. But my point is you have to make adjustments in life. Being injured, it teaches you adversity. I tore my Achilles. Never thought this was going to happen. Never had an injury. But that was a blessing, just like you said it was for Granddaddy, because I changed my motto of my shop where I didn't have to be in there every day. And now my customers will order through my website or online or send me an email. So now I have it running automated, and I don't have to be in there to run my business, and it allowed me to get into real estate and go full-fledged at that and put my energy in that to where the shop is still running itself to where I don't have to print unless I have orders come in, because that's dead time. So a guy told me this years ago, if you own a business and you got to be there every day, you're nothing but a glorified employee. That's it.
That's
because
really
a businessman has multiple businesses, and one, they run in itself. I don't care if you got 80 properties, that's businesses. If you're collecting rent from them every month, they're running itself. All you have to do is put in places, if you got property management or you're a manager, you're going to manage them, that's all you have to put in place is management. But other than that, they're running themselves. That's how you want to have it. So it's basically an athlete having injuries and things. It teaches you adversity. It teaches you how to adjust within the game. You know, and that's the same thing in life. You got to adjust within the game. The same thing with the body. You got to adjust. The body telling you something. You got to adjust to what your body telling you. And I feel so bad. Like, again, I never that Brandon Goodwin story because, you know, he's a good kid. I officiated him playing travel basketball. I remember him. And so, you know, to see that, you know, I have a lot of guys that's in playing pro ball that I've officiated when they was in high school. And that's just so unfortunate, and it's the nature of the beast in the NBA, and this teaches us that the NBA is still a business. They do not have the full best interest of the athletes. So that's why you have a Kyrie Irving standing tall and saying, and like you said, Auntie Vi, God has chosen him to be the spokesperson to say, no, I don't care what Shaq say, Kareem say, Charles Barkley say, I don't care what nobody say, I'm going to stand on what I believe in, and that's it. And he's the right guy to do it because he don't care. He really doesn't, you know. So he was the one last year, let me tell you, the people don't know this about Kyrie. This is how deep he is spiritually, and it goes to why he's doing what he's doing. He played, when he left Cleveland, he got traded to Boston. he was injured at Boston, so he really didn't, you know, wasn't the player that, you know, he could have been. And he got traded to Brooklyn, where the Boston fans booed him and all this and that. Do you realize last year, before the game, that boy went around and walked around the gym with Sage to clear out the negativity? That's the type of person Kyrie Irving is.
Oh, so he was smudging.
He had the burning sage. He had the burning sage, and he was walking around the court, just walking around with him before the game. And he said he did that. He said, I had to get the negative energy out before it came. So this is the type of mindset that he has. He's the perfect person for this. Even my business partner, Mark, say he's a cool guy, blah, blah, because I never met Kyrie. He just seemed like he just had this arrogancy. But what it is that, no, he stands in what he believes in.
Confident.
And I get it now. He's confident. That's really what it is. That's the great word to use. He's confident. He's confident. Whatever he stands tall on, I'm confident I stand tall on it. I don't care what you think. And you don't supposed to think what other people think. So, I mean, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I roll with this dude now. Forget the basketball side. Because, see, I was just on the basketball side. But the person, Kyrie, oh, yeah, I can sit down and conversate with him.
All right, we got a last break. When we come back, I want you to share with our audience some of the studying and tools you had to develop to become the real estate person that you are now, the business, to develop your real estate business. A lot of people are interested in the Airbnb and all that, and you're doing a great job of that. So I want people to hear what
kind of training you
had to go through to get transition into not just having a print shop, but now doing real estate, Airbnb, and really doing a great job of that. So we'll be right back after this break.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
today, 515-605-9325. We've got people commenting on Facebook Live, which is really sweet and nice. Susie Mayberry Parker says, entrepreneurs are not just managers, they delegate. CEOs must be eased up so they can keep the building the business. So my guest is Cedric Shepherd. He's actually my nephew and the oldest grandson of this man back here, Sherman Howard. His book is available 6 years in the, it took me 6 years to write this book because my dad was, it was hard pulling all this great information out of him, but this is where it represents 95 years of wisdom. And Cedric was under his tutelage and guidance for all that time. And so Cedric has transitioned from being a really athlete, serious, aggressive athlete, worked as a referee, worked as a coach, was playing the game, and he's come to know and love the game, but also come to know what I love, what you said, Cedric, how you've come to know the character of a lot of these players. So you know their hearts, and you know their minds. The unique health challenges for especially basketball players, to me, is a more of a mental challenge. And like you said, making adjustments. So share with our audience how you made the adjustment into real estate. What was some of the training you had to go through to do what you do right now with such ease, in my opinion, from what I've observed?
Well, again, this show is, you know, focused on the athletes, so I'm going to give you the audience a good scenario. As you know, Auntie Vi, I was blessed. I'm the only grandchild on my father's side. I don't have any family on my father's side anymore, but I was blessed where my grandmother left me half of her, of the building her and my aunt owned. And
in Chicago, right?
Chicago, correct. And basically, me and my aunt owned it, and my aunt, the building was paid off, and my aunt basically took money out against the building. Well, me not being educated on real estate at the time in 2007, I signed a document that gave her permission. She had some health challenges, so she needed, you know, money for that, which was understood. And, you know, she lived in that building, her whole time, but mostly her adult life. So I know, you know, I wasn't going to be an advocate to say no. And, you know, but anyway, the agreement was she was going to basically leave her life insurance policy lease enough to pay off that debt that she had incurred on the building when she passed on with the Lord in 2014. And I instantly became a owner of a 3-story building on the south side of Chicago. And with that being said, had no real estate background, had no basically, you know, being a landlord and any of those things. I had no experience on it, didn't have any guidance, no mentor, nothing at the time. So with that being said, became a landlord instantly, kept the building for 2 years, and it was just became too much trying to manage the building here from Atlanta and the building being in Chicago. And with that, you know, I was not getting market value rent. So I'm upside down every month pretty much with all the expenses that I had along with the building, and the building needed a lot of work. So end up selling it in 2016 to an investment group. Well, I think it might be 2018. I went and looked at the building. And the building sold the building for $330,000. I sold them the building for $75,000. So, again, here comes the athlete in me. It's basically like somebody telling me in my day that I was sorry when I know I was good. So, okay, if you tell me I'm sorry, I'm coming at you like a bull. Here come the aggressive Cedric. So, here come the aggressive Cedric when it came to the real estate. I basically told myself that I was going to get my credit together because I had let my credit go because I have a doctorate in special ed administration. I was a teacher for 7 years for special ed. Anybody who's in education, you know the higher degrees you have, the more money you make. Like I said, I'm always striving for the top because that's what an athlete does. He's always trying to find a way to be great, to be better. So I have my doctorate. That's nothing big to me. But at the same time, that was why when 2011 I was teaching because they'd start the furloughing the teachers and said they weren't going to pay you for your degree, your doctorate, unless you taught in that field. So with that being said, I just said, forget student loans. I'm just, I got my shop. I'm just go. I make cash. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about credit. What I didn't, listen, this is where the system does us an injustice by not educating us because credit is everything. With that being said, I had in 2018, I said, I'm getting my credit together. I had a buddy that said he knows how to fix credit. Well, I kind of knew how to fix credit in the early 2000s because I fixed my credit then. But with that being said, I got with him. He removed some things. Some things came back on. Got with a Facebook group called Credit Warriors and learned through people's posts, reading their different scenarios, you know what they were going through with credit issues. And I took my credit score from a 472 in February of 2019 to a 762 by the end of December 2019. That's when I put my first contract on my first investment property, which is my Airbnb right now here in Atlanta near Tyler Perry Studios, and I gross around $5,000 a month from that. But the journey started from the motivation. So what I learned was one of my friends I played ball with growing up, he played for the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA. His wife told me about this lady named Dana who was teaching you about biz, credit repair, business funding, how to attain business funding. So I'm like, okay, how to leverage your personal credit to attain business funding. Like, okay. Well, with that being said, I said, I'm going to invest into myself again. It's just like taking the risk as an athlete, believing in what you stand for. I spent $5,000, and I have, from that tool, it's last October, and her mentorship, and she still is there for me today. I've attained 9 properties and investment properties, 2 here in Atlanta, 1 in Florida, 3 in Baltimore, 1 in Milwaukee, and a 4-unit apartment building in Cleveland. And my business partner, Marcus, who I told you.
I want to just give credit to your mother, my sister, for being there 100%, supporting you on that journey, keeping the kids. So just a shout out to my sister, Yvette, who has been a big, big support for this young man. So I just had to put that out there for her in case she's listening.
definitely. But with that being said, I have learned how to leverage my personal credit to attain business funding. And the business funding has helped me attain real estate. Some of them I own outright. Some of them I have mortgages on. Only have mortgages on 2. The rest I own outright. I own 3 with my partner. And the rest I own, with by myself. So with that being said, this is something that young athletes need to be taught. So what I'm working on, and I'm trying to just get my everything together to have the time, is an entrepreneurship financial literacy workbook for 6th through 12th graders. And I want to teach kids basically different ways of entrepreneurship, different ways to be creative, to come up with their different vision, because this generation is an entrepreneurship generation. And so if you can have a kid that understands credit before he gets out of high school
and he understands it to where his parents had set him up and made it to where it helped him to get his credit to a certain point. And then he understands real estate and investing in real estate. We'll have millionaires by 25, and we'll have our communities bought back. You know, this. I'm going to tell you this, Auntie Vi, share this with you. This is something people always say, I want to give back to the community. I want to give back to this. I want to do this. Well, God has blessed me. The house that me and my mom, and my dad lived in, me and my partner have been able to attain a house three doors down from their house. And I'm just proud to say that I have literally invested back in my community. I grew up on that street from kindergarten to fifth grade. Those were my wonder years. And I just want to set an example for my kids and for others. This is really how you do it. You know, you don't have to do nothing illegal. You don't have to do nothing slime ballish. You don't have to get over on people. You just do the right thing, and God will bless you. And I'm a testimony of that. And I just want people to understand it's just part of your journey, whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, is just part of your journey. That's all it is. And faith over fear is something I live by, because everything we go through, if it struggles through the day, if it struggles in our families, if within ourselves, these are faith tests. These are how you going to handle it. How you going to be in the situation. And basically what Kyrie Irving is going through, he's just going through a faith test. God is testing his faith. And he's standing strong by what he believes in. And if you look down, if you really look into it with a naked eye, he's doing the smartest thing, because he knows his body.
Yay.
Nobody can tell you.
And that's really to the truth about the unique health challenge for athletes and all of us, is to listen to your body. Because even you, the injuries you've had over the years, you didn't go out there and keep playing when your ankle was saying you got a sprained ankle or a bruised ankle. No, you sit your ass down and you rest for a while. And that's what happens. A lot of people don't listen to their body. How are you going to go out and get a jab? Like Colin Powell is a great example of not listening to his body, because he was so caught up in the political arena for so long. And caused much disturbance in the minds of people with his choices and decisions. But he already had sickness in his body. He had all kinds of cancer, and I have to understand he has at least three diseases. He had comorbidities. And then for him to take the jab, he was not, to me, this is my opinion, he wasn't listening to his body. Because he didn't, obviously he didn't realize that this jab was going to create more side effects, and your body's already being challenged. Listen, we got a caller who has, I think, a comment or a question. I'm going to open up her mic. 336-350, Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Thank you, Dr. V. I kind of tuned in late, and the nurses were in and out of here, and I did not hear everything. Greetings to your guest. Who is this young man that just spoke? Because he is, greetings family. He's speaking wisdom to this elder. And is he your relative, your nephew?
This is my nephew, my dad's first grandson, grandchild. And yes, he's my nephew.
Oh, Dr. V, it speaks volumes, my sister, to who you are and why you and I are on the planet at this time. And I just wanted to say thank you, sir, for speaking wisdom today so that my mind, body, and spirit, my heart, my soul can hear and sponge it up. It really means a lot. Wednesday, you know, Dr. V, I'll be going under the knife Wednesday at 4 p.m., and I'm grateful. to you, sir. Keep doing what you're doing. And thank you, Dr. V, for being on the planet at this time to be a part of this young man's journey. And I'll listen. Thank us, I hope.
You're welcome. Definitely welcome.
Yes, he has really been a blessing in our lives, along with all of our children, the men and women we give birth to. The way we detach and not get into deep grief if they leave, like my older sister went into deep grief when her daughter left because she was too attached to the physical body instead of the soul journey. So it's people like Cedric who bring us into an awareness and consciousness of who we are, why we're here, what we're intended to do, focus, and be assertive in what we do. So I want to play this meditation. I want us all to come together in unity right now and do some breathing and just close your eyes for a minute and meditate on what we just heard from this very wise young man. And let's close our eyes and do some breathing. I want to end every show with some breathing because that's what's going to get us through this twilight zone we're in. And just give thanks for people like Kylie Irvin, Cedric Shepherd, and all these young people who are standing for something great, greatness. This is what it's all about. Just close your eyes, breathe in, breathe out. We are cold.
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves. I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bone. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother is with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here. The rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. Earth my body, water my body, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my spirit. Earth my body, earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my.
And we are so grateful. grateful today for that spirit in us, that soul in us, in this vessel of love. And Zelda says she wants Mama AZ to know that we are praying for her successful surgery. In fact, let us pray together even now, because we've been on this journey with Mama AZ for a long time, a long journey of pain and suffering because of metal in the body. And now the metal's out. Now we're going to next chapter of surgery. So Heavenly Father, we just ask you to bless the surgeon's hands next week as they go into Mama AZ's body once again to bring balance, to bring healing, to bring strength to that leg. And we just bless your name, Yahuwah Most High, that you are the great physician, that there is no other physician. We have these men walking around in white coats practicing their medicine, but we know there's only one great physician. So thank you for Mama AZ and all that she's shared and blessed us with, her wisdom and knowledge. And now we ask you to bless her next week on the operating table, that your angels will be there and you will guide that surgeon's hand to bring a total successful surgery and bring balance and strength to that leg and even her whole body as her microbiome system goes to work with that surgeon to help her mind, body, and spirit come into perfect unity. So thank you, all you who have listened. Cedric, you have any final words you want to leave with us about the adjustments, athletes, health, whatever? What's your final word for us this day?
I just would like to just end with everybody just always keep in mind that everything we're going through, like I said before, is a journey. So enjoy the journey, learn from the journey, and grow from the journey, and it will bring you more peace. I'm 42 years old, and that's my mindset, you know, and growing even more. You know, as long as the days that the good Lord has on me on this earth. So you keep that in mind. It will keep a lot of stress and worry because everything we go through is a journey and it's a testimony because it's somebody else that's going through that or will be going through that or worse. So other than that, I appreciate you, Auntie Vi, as always. You know, you taught me so much and, you know, you're my best aunt. I love you so much. And so I just thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak and share my experiences and my wisdom of, you know, of what I've been through in my journey. So, again, you know, I'll come on the other time. So thank you. Everybody be blessed.
And I am so proud of you. I am so grateful to the Most High.
We've come to the end of our show
that
today.
You are on this
but
journey
you
with
every show
beautiful
in the archive
beautiful
at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
And we're all on this together.
You can also view today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your
but I'm
going to
laugh through it and applaud
you
through it.
You can always reach me on
because
my
we got people like
www.naimalatif.com.
So everybody have a beautiful
listen to our radio shows.
Come back tomorrow at noon
and be sure to get your copy of The Female Solution.
Educational show.
On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
All our global family now.
And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xie
Xie.
India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jung Kujung, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia,
Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Love you.
Have a great day.